Mincing Ma and Casalelia Mine Co. It's good morning and howdy, y'all, from your brothers and sisters in Pohnpei. So glad to be here this morning. I wanted to bring greetings and salutations from Joey and Tammy Treat. They're sorry they weren't able to make it in this year due to the COVID, but they said to tell you all that they're thinking about you and you're always in their hearts. So first, I'd like to just tell you, I know that most of you have probably remember where Micronesia is, but a lot of the country do not. So I'm going to carry you real quickly. If you see that little red dot there in the corner, we'll zoom in a little bit more. Look in that top left area up there. That's Micronesia. And we'll zoom in a little bit more. This is the Federated States of Micronesia. And it's made up of four different island areas. That's Coast Rai, which is just a single island. And then there's Chuuk, which is made up of multiple islands, and Yap, which is made up of a couple islands. And then Pohnpei, which is the island that we live on, that's made up of a many outer islands and a single central island. And we live in that single central island. Now, there's a lot of the island it's a big mix. It's a hybrid mix of tribal and traditional. And we're reminded about that in many different ways. Some of them are blatant and some of them are more subtle. If you see, we have one phone and three flip-flops that are doing the recording here in this video. But you see that throughout the whole island. There's a very unique mix of the tribal and the modern. We have kings in five different kingdoms, and they have a traditional hierarchy of different types of chiefs and different types of people, commanders in their area. Yet we also have senators and a president and a legislature. So we have a very unique mix there. We're actually missionaries to the greater area of Micronesia. We've done work in Palau, which is outside of us. We've done some work in Guam. We've done work in Chuuk and in Pohnpei, where we live now. And as of this last year, we did a little work in Coast Rai. So we're trying to spread out and cover it's a lot of area, and there are very few missionaries that work out there. It's really just Joey Treat and I, and then a few that come in and out throughout the year. This is the island of Pohnpei that we live on. That top area, if you can see it, do I have a pointer on here? Ah, there we go. This top area is Colonia. The island is made up of about 45,000 people, and about 6,000 of them live in this area up here. Colonia is our only town. It's where we have a couple grocery stores, and we have an Ace Hardware for you to buy your concrete, cement, and wood. And about 6,000 of the people live up there. It's a little more modern than the rest of the island. The rest of the island is third world, and a lot of the people live out into the jungle in different types of communities there. Even though we, like I said before, even though it is tribal in many ways, and even though it's very remote on the other side of the world, it is connected in many ways to many other places. We have, on the island, we have an Australian embassy, a Chinese embassy, a Japanese embassy, and a U.S. embassy. And we all work together to do multiple things. This man that you see in the center here is our president, David Panuelo. In many ways, he's kind of like a good old country boy, you know, that we see all the time, see around town. He makes speeches all over the place. But he also gets off the island, and here he is with President Trump. And then here he is with Xi Jinping from China. And then we also had Mike Pompeo come out to the island last year, which is the Secretary of State. So even though we're very remote, Micronesia is important in the world. But the important thing to us while we're out there is to grow the Church of Christ, to grow the church. We currently have, this is our building in Colonia. We did have two buildings on island. But I'll tell you a little bit more about a VBS trip that we had off island. We were gone for a month. And when we came back, one of the landowner had passed away and his son had taken over the land. And he had come in and built walls and moved his whole family into our church building in the south area. So now we're currently all meeting in the north area. Even as we're in the States, they're still meeting there. But it's a long drive. It's about an hour to get from the south area to the north area. So we're looking at other options. We're planning on breaking ground on a new building. We had a lady that moved to the States, and when she did, she donated land to the church. And we're hoping to, We actually were planning in March, before the island kind of closed down on us because of COVID, to break ground on that and do the surveying on it. So that's going to be pushed till when we get back. But anyway, we have about 30 to 40 members, and we have a lot of visitors that come in and out. But unfortunately, everyone has to be brought in on flatbeds or a van that we have. So when the flatbed's full, They'll cram it tight, but usually the members will pile on, and then we have kind of a rotating group of visitors that will pile in everybody's lap. But when it's full, it's full. This is what you usually see generally on the rest of the island outside of Colonia. They're very poor. Most of the houses are made up just like a piece of plywood, some poles around the outside, and a tin roof on top of it. And most people there barely have the money to make their daily bread. They live day to day to day. But it makes us excited when we see them working and being active in the church. We have 100% participation in just about everything that we do, which is more than most congregations in the States can say. So it's really happy to, I'm really always happy to see them putting their heart into the work. And they've seen from others that participation provides practice, which provides confidence. And that confidence is what we all need in Christ. Speaking of 100% participation, I'm not the only missionary out there. We've always said that if you sponsor the Parkers, you're not sponsoring one missionary, you're sponsoring six. Now, we've got one that's in Freed, and he's still doing what he can in Freed, but there's five of us that stay active all the time out there. The five of us will go back, and he'll stay here in Freed when we go. But Christy, she stays very busy. There's no way that I could cover all the things that she does just continually. She teaches the kids' classes and women's classes, does Bible studies, plans special events like Women's Day that I'll talk about a little bit later, and VBS, not to mention planning the curriculum for all of our kids, which... Before, we were a unique few that were doing the homeschooling, but now we have a lot of people all over the place that are doing that. But we've kind of been old hat. We've done that for about, 10 years? Something like that? 13 years, a little bit more than that. But she does a lot with the curriculum there and keeping the kids schooled there. And also, she provided a lot of curriculum for the teachers there. So even though we're here in the States, the Bible school teachers have enough curriculum to last them till into the first of the year, because she prepared a lot of that before you left. There's a whole lot of keeping up with the kids' education and keeping up with the daily happenings on the island, but she's very good at that. The kids are also extremely busy in the congregation. All of them have taught. My son Connor, he's kind of the main song leader there. He sings in Pompeian, so he's done a good job picking up the Pompeian language, at least singing wise. It's a hard language for us to learn, but we're all working on it. But he leads the singing in Pompeian. We're training up a couple of other song leaders, and since we've been in the States, they've had a lot of practice that they didn't expect to get, but they seem to be doing very well also. My son Gavin, he works with the kids a lot, and he's also led singing and done some speaking there. And then my son Spencer up there at the top. I think many of you are familiar with Pacific Islands Bible College, PIBC, as they go out through the Pacific. He taught his first class in Christian Evidences, which is a hard topic to teach even in English, and he taught it with a Pompeian translator earlier this year and did a very good job. And also Piper, she works with some of the young ladies and Christy, teaching them to lead singing and do talks. And she, you see here in this picture, leading a song at a ladies' day that we had, a woman's day that we had. We had what could have been a major setback earlier this year. If you see right there in the center, in the blue shirt there, the Pompeian, his name is Charlie. And at the first of the year, he was our only... driver that we had. He was the only licensed driver to do all the van driving and to do the flatbed driving, but he moved to the States earlier this year. In fact, he lives in Tampa, and we hope to be able to see him in the next couple weeks. We've really been... What's that?
Just
Last year. Oh, yeah. We're in 2020 now. He moved there last year. We really hope to be able to see him and catch up with him here. We've kind of tried to keep track of him while he was in the States. Well, anyway, so we were really happy to see him, to be able to come to the States where his family had been for a while. But we were really nervous because we didn't know what we were going to do as far as a driver. But the Lord provided, as He does very often, and we are so happy that happens. And I'll talk more about the other drivers as we go along here. We also had Brother Osser. He completed a 2-year certification on Fiji at a preaching school there that's run by Rocco and Jason Pierce. And we were very happy that he completed that program. He came back in November and hit the ground running. He was ready to start reaching out to the community and start sharing the pulpit. When I left in March, he's been preaching ever since. So he got thrown into the fire, and we've heard some wonderful things about his preaching while he was out there. We're really happy to have that opportunity. We had our first two interns come out earlier in December of last year, and it's always interesting to have interns because you never know what they expect and never know what to expect. I think they had done some work in Jamaica, but Pohnpei is very different from Jamaica. We're not a very touristy place, and we're a little bit warmer than Jamaica. But when they hit the ground, they had a big list of things they wanted to do. We had a big list of things we wanted to do. And God and the island took control, and we ended up having a brand new list between the two of us. But they did some wonderful things while they were here. They taught Bible classes. They helped us deliver food boxes deep into the jungle. We had, if you can see, Kirsten carrying a big 50-pound bag of rice deep into the jungle. So the girls stepped up and were tough, strong, made our boys look bad sometimes. No, they did. They were carrying their own. They worked with us on a women's tea, a woman's day, and many, many more things while we were there. So we hope that their time in Pohnpei enriched their lives and helped them see what life in the mission field was like. It's much different. A lot of people go on two-week trips, short-term mission trips, but full-time mission is much different, and they found that out firsthand, and we were very happy to have that opportunity, and we hope for more interns in the future. So if you have family or friends that you think might be interested, we would love to be approached and have that discussed. So when we do the work out in the islands, it's really a threefold thing that we focus on. We focus on evangelism, edifying, and equipping the saints. And most of the people on the island have no way to get around. And they have some taxis that come in some general areas, and everything is so spread out. So they mostly live in their own communities. A lot of them will have their own little box store that they go to that's out at the front of their community, and many never leave their area. So when we do Bible studies, we often have some long treks back into the jungle. And very fortunately, instead of having individual Bible studies, even if something starts out as an individual Bible study, it's usually the family will come in, and then the neighbors will come in, and they usually end up having almost a gospel meeting with every Bible study, which is wonderful, because often the person that we actually set up the study with, the person that we that invited us out, is not generally the first one to obey the gospel. And many times we have a lot of people from that group that will obey the gospel. And so we're really, really fortunate to have those Bible studies. And we try to continue those and to teach the local people how to do it themselves. We spend a lot of time working with them so that they can conduct their own studies. And we have many that have. This is, one of the most important things in evangelism, of course, and one of the most joyous days is when someone obeys the gospel. The life on Pohnpei is really tough. So quite often when we have a new convert come in, they've quite often had some rough lives and many things that they have to deal with. And now they have the Lord that they can lean on and the congregation that they can lean on. And that's a wonderful thing. We try to provide that to them. But if you look at this is just a few of the stories of the people that have obeyed the gospel this year. If you look at the top, her name is Maylene Robbie. We first heard about her about 2 years ago. Her uncle, Charlie, that I talked about earlier, came to us and told us about a niece that he had whose husband had been brutally murdered. A man waited outside of their compound with a machete, and as he got ready to leave to go to work, he was attacked and killed, leaving Maylene with five kids to raise. This is four of the kids right here, to raise on her own. About a year later is when she started attending, and we didn't make the connection at first. We didn't know that this was Charlie's niece because Charlie had left at the time. And we started getting to know these kids and getting to know this lady, and she has a wonderful heart. The kids have wonderful hearts, and life, as I said earlier, on Pohnpei can be very tough, especially for kids without a father. And we've really been blessed that people have surrounded her in the congregation and that have surrounded the family. And we hope to continue to grow these children in the Lord and also others. They bring family and friends with them. This is Rosemary and Jones, Isaac. This is our driver that the Lord sent us, Jones. And you'll see Jones and Rosemary on many of the slides in the future because they've been very active in the church. They're a very active family. In fact, Jones and Rosemary are doing most of the driving now that we're in the States, and they're helping to do a lot of the organization. They were actually brought in a couple of years ago before we came to report. They came to a VBS. Their whole family is a case of a family being brought in by a VBS. We were able to meet with them for a week, and then we planned when we returned to try to go out and find them. But it turns out that they had been there every day since the VBS, attending the congregation, and were baptized very soon after our return. I don't have a picture of their entire family there, but in the bottom corner, the lady right here on the side, the young lady here, we'll talk about her in a minute. Her name is Fanon, and she had some health issues that came up later. So another thing that we really spend a lot of time on is edifying, to try to improve their lives morally and physically. We work with a lot of them to teach them how to, patterns that we've seen from other places on the island, of how to grow their own crops, how to bring things to harvest, and how to plant. One side of the island is very lush and muddy, and the other side's a little bit drier, but still lush. And so we've kind of tried to help them learn to plant stuff from the lush side to the other side. So we focus on spiritual, but we also try to help them with physical things. Like I said earlier, the majority of them live pretty much daily finding their meals. The U.S. aid and China aid will sometimes come and bring road construction or bridge construction, and they'll help them out. We have some that hunt for mangrove crabs, and they'll bring those crabs into the city and sell them. But generally, that's the only way that they have to support their families. But talking about edifying again, we spend a lot of time creating a bond and making these people feel that the church is their family and they can be dependent upon each other just like they are dependent on their family, that they can help each other and be integral parts of each other's lives. And the way we do this is at least once a month we try to have some kind of event that's a fun event but yet still spiritual in ways. What you see here is we have a carnival. We've had a spring one and a fall one. And the way they have a lot of the games like you see at some of the fall festivals here in the States. And the way you get tickets to play those games is by answering Bible questions. So we'll have a long line of them answering Bible questions, and then we'll give them a ticket, and they'll play the game and be right back for the Bible questions. And that's a good way for them to learn, and it's a good way for them to have fun and enjoy the time together. Another thing, I don't have a picture of it, is we had our first parents' night out. Christy had the idea for this, and she sent out information on Facebook about it, And we had some people that on Facebook that sponsored each of the families. A lot of the families there, as I told you, the type of living that they do, you know, it's pretty much just a piece of plywood and they're all piled in together. They don't have a lot of independent time, or they don't have a lot of alone time or private time. Many of the parents have never, or are really never away from their children at all. So we thought we would, Christy had the idea of offering the parents' night out. We kept the kids that night and played games with them and showed them a little movie. And then the parents all went out. She prepared, she gave a Devo that she had put together. And we gave each one of the families a Devo to do together and then to have some alone time. And it was just the reactions that they got from that, something we don't really think about in the States. But we had many of the couples that came to us in tears said that even when they were dating, they never had this alone time together. And we also, that spawned devotionals into more home devotionals between the two of them, and also family devotionals. So we try a lot of things out there, and we never know what's gonna work and what's not. If it works, continue. If it doesn't, try to find something else. That's kind of the way, the life of a missionary. Another thing that we have is the church picnic. We had this again last year, and we had services out beside the ocean. And after the services, we had games and had a real good cookout. Had some good island chicken. They have a very unique way of, they get a cooler and pile chicken in it and soak it in soy and all kinds of other things that we don't ask what it is. But it's just amazing. It's a wonderful taste. So we all had a really fun day and a really good day of bonding. Another thing that we rotate out every year is a ladies' retreat and a woman's day. The ladies' retreat is more for the congregation. It's more of a internal time to grow the members. And a woman's day is more of an outreach to the community. And so we had this one that you see here. We had Kathy Ferguson come out to help us with. She's from the Atlanta area. And Kathy and Stacy worked with the PIBC. They came out and helped with this ladies' day that you see here. And then we had the interns that came. When they came, they put together a young lady and teens' day that they spoke at. We also participated last year in October. We had Heart to Heart sponsored a door-knocking day. It was a national door-knocking day. So we decided we would try to make it an international door-knocking day. So as I said earlier, we had 100% participation that came out. We went into the area that we hoped to build the new church in, the new building in, and we went to many of the households and much of the community there, and we were very happy with we had people requesting Bible studies and had many that were very interested in when the doors would be open, when we would be there, and a lot of those are now in that visitor line. To come attend the congregation. I alluded a little bit earlier to a VBS that we had, and you'll have to tell me when I'm running out of time here. I don't see a clock on that back wall. So. we had an intention to go to Guam. We were going to go to Guam for a couple of weeks to stay while Joey and Tammy were in the States. We were going to stay in their house for a couple of weeks. But as she started researching the tickets, she found that we could have layovers in certain areas, and it would not change the price of the ticket. In fact, it lowered it $100. So what we did is turn this into a gospel meeting VBS tour. So we started on the island of Khos Rai. We were able to extend that to almost a full week. And then we went to, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but then we went to Chuuk, and then we went to Guam, and then we returned back to the island. And we were able to do that all for the price of one ticket to Guam, so that or the price for tickets to Guam. We started our VBS in Pohnpei. We had great participation. We had the locals did the teaching. We had a lot of them do acting, and we had daily skits. The man that you see there in the middle, his name is Roy. He's 72 years young. He has just an amazing heart, and he really reaches out to the kids. He was a teacher that day, a teacher that week, and he also worked in some of the skits there. We had a lot of the community come in, and it was a great outreach tool to them. We had some skits that we put together. We had some that were, we had one, let's see, let me see if I can find him here. This Andreas up here in the corner, he didn't speak any English at all. I think he knows two English words. But when we started doing the skit practice, he wanted to be in the skit too. So we found a skit that the person that's in it just says yeah and no about 10 times. So we put him in there and we would tug on him. So every time he knew what to say. But he really enjoyed himself. And Jones, which is another one there. Let's see. Yeah, there's Jones right there. We did the story of David when he was anointed. And the Pompeians in general are very stoic people. They're very quiet. They never want any attention drawn to them. They just want to stay in the background. So sometimes it's hard for us to, we have to work with them a lot to get them to step up to leadership roles. But they, once they get comfortable with that, they make very good leaders. Well, Jones was very quiet when we started doing the skits. And we worked with him, and his lines was supposed to be, wow, why does David get to be the king? And that's how he delivered it as we did our practices, very quietly. Wow, why does David get to be the king? But then the day of the, when all the children were there and he had the adrenaline going, we got the full, oh man, why come David gets to be the king? And that became our catchphrase for the rest of VBS. But it's wonderful to see them come out of their shell, whether it be in a leadership position, whether it be teaching a Devo, teaching a class. It's just wonderful to see them putting their heart into the work. The island, we went to the island of Koh Samui. We'd been planning on going out there for a while. The people that were there before us, Scott and Rebecca Shanahan, they had gone out a couple of times, but they had never been able to really get a toehold on the island. So we had really been interested in coming out there. So we stopped there without having a venue. We had no clue who was going to come to the VBS, where we were going to have the VBS, and where we were going to have a gospel meeting. So we kind of stepped out on faith, and we began talking to see who we needed to talk to there. So we were intent on trying to find the mayor, but we ended up being sent to the governor's office. So this is actually the governor, which is actually the leader of Koh Samui. And we were a little intimidated because Koh Samui, in general, they have a central religion that's tied into their culture. It's called Congregationalism. And the majority of the island are part of this, which is a mixture between their animistic original ways and Christianity. It's kind of a cross culture. So we were a little intimidated because we didn't know what this meeting with the governor was going to be to run us off the island or if it was going to be with open arms. And fortunately, God had prepared the way, and it was with open arms. And he greeted us, and he gave us a place for us to have the meeting, and also said, I'm very sad to hear that you're only going to have one day to do it. He said, I'd love for you to come back next time, plan to be here a week, and do a full week. So we are very hopeful that we'll get back out to Koh Samui and hopefully can plant the church there. We would love to see it being planted there and grow. This is the VBS that we had there. Now, when we went in originally, another thing out of that list of things we didn't have is we didn't have a translator. So we hoped that many of the kids would come in speaking English. Well, they didn't. In fact, we had about 15 come in all speaking Koh Samui, which we'd never heard at all. But again, the Lord provided. We had one of the kids in the back was very energetic and speaking perfect English and speaking to them back and forth. So we pulled the little 12-year-old over to the side and said, well, we really need a translator. How would you like to translate for the day? And he was just totally excited about it. Now, at first we were a little timid because we didn't know what he was translating. We didn't know what he was saying. But at the end, when it came time to ask questions about the Bible stories that the kids had taught through the day, we had hands fly up everywhere. And we had loads of people answering questions. So he must have done a good job translating. So that was wonderful. Again, the Lord will provide and did provide. Then we went from Koh Samui to the island of Chuuk. And we've Joey has been working there for many years, and we've been working there. This was our third trip out there. And it's always wonderful to go to Chuuk. It's kind of a dangerous place, so it's not a place that we really have a missionary live, but we all like to go out there and help train the indigenous people, because the only way that the church will grow on that island is for the indigenous people to take that out to their own, and to be trained and to be strong in the faith. We had a good VBS out there also. We had Brother Hermas. I know that many of you have probably seen his face over the years. We had the last day that we were there, we had a baptism. This is Obed, his neighbor. And I don't know if the message has made it here, but Brother Hermas passed away. Did y'all receive that information? Yes, Brother Hermas passed away last month. That's one of the, about a month ago. That's one of the heartbreaks of us being here. You know, if someone passes away, there's no way that we can offer that comfort. But we really need the prayers on the island of Chuuk to keep the church going strong there, because Hermas has been the pillar there for many, many years. But we have heard that some other men, Joey, not Joey Treat, but another Joey that's local, is continuing the work, preaching out there. And we're working with one of Hermas's son. Joey is staying in constant contact. Joey Treat is staying in constant contact with him to continue the work out there. And then we also went to Guam, but since I'm running short on time, I won't talk much about that. We weren't able to have a VBS there just because of many things that were happening. Back to Fanon really quickly. So when we returned from VBS, this is Jones's daughter, and when we returned from the VBS, she was feeling very sickly. She had gotten to the point where she was almost having to be carried around. They had carried her to the hospital there, but the hospital had not really looked at her deeply, said she probably had pneumonia, and sent her home with some antibiotics. And after 2 or 3 weeks, nothing had changed. She continued to go down, down and down. The family, out of desperation, even carried her to a local witch doctor to see if any of the natural medicine could help. But of course it did not, and she continued to go down and down. When we arrived, she could barely move. And Christy worked as an advocate and brought her back to the hospital there, and was very adamant that there was something else going wrong. And we found out she had rheumatic heart disease, and her heart fluid, her chest was full of fluid, and her heart had swollen and been damaged. And if they had not caught it within that week or the next, she would have passed away. But she had looked very badly as we brought her in. But they had some local LASIK medicine that they gave her, and a lot of prayers. She had been having Bible studies with her parents. They were part of that parents' night out. And she had gone to her father and said she wanted to obey the gospel. But the hospital wouldn't let her leave the bed. And we were trying to find any way that we could to have the baptism there. But they weren't working with us. So we just continued to pray and continued to have prayers from people here in the States. If you saw our newsletter, you probably heard her story. And the Lord worked in her life, and about a week later, she was able to obey the gospel. And when we left, she was strong and back running around again. She's had some heart damage, so at some point she'll have to have some repairs. But she's very healthy and getting around again. All right, so when is my cutoff time? It is 11:08. 5 minutes? That sounds good. Another thing that we continually try to do out there is to train leaders. And I'm glad that we did, because we're staying here in the States a little bit longer than we had hoped. But these leaders are stepping up and having they're doing the preaching, doing the song leading, filling all the leadership roles that were there while we were there. We also work with their sons so that they will also be prepared to have these leadership roles. We have a Lads to Leaders type program that I do with the young men, and that my wife does with the young lady, and Piper does with the young ladies. And it's always wonderful for the children to see their parents being these role models, but it's also true that many times the children will inspire the parents to step up. I don't have much time to talk about Pacific Islands Bible College, and I think you are kind of familiar with the program. As I said, Spencer taught one class this year. We had hoped for Robert Martin and Ricky Berger to come out in October. But because of the way the island is currently shut down because of COVID, they're not allowing anybody on or off the island. It's been locked down since the end of March. And so that's not going to be able to happen, but hopefully we can have that early next year. We have Pohnpei is a matriarchal society. That means a lot of it is run by women. So once a year, they have a huge Women's Day, which people come from the outer islands and all over to celebrate their traditional stories and dances and songs. And Christy took the opportunity. We had some congregations that donated some reading glasses. And she worked with a local nurse there to hand out these glasses to people at that Women's Day and to also give them tracts and bookmarks and things like that to tell about the church. So we look for any way that we can to reach out to the community. This is another work that I wish I had a little more time to talk about because it's opened so many different doors. We started a community theater that really reaches across the different barriers. We had some of the poorest children from outside the jungle, but we also had the Chinese ambassador's daughter and two of the governor's grandchildren in the play. So it's you reach across boundaries and across classes, and we all kind of work as a family. This is we took Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol and gave it an island flair and rewrote it for the island. And it went over very well, and it opened up. It gave us good opportunities we had not had before. We had tried to start a campus ministry at the local college that was there, and this opened the door for that. We also had trouble finding a venue until 2 weeks before the performance, and we had a high school there, which is kind of, it serves sort of as a boarding school. People come in from the other islands that are there. It's a probably about a 50-to-1 ratio when it comes to kids to parents, so we'd been a little timid to get out there, but they had the only stage on the island. So we stepped in the door not knowing what to expect, but it created a wonderful relationship with the principal there that's going to open the doors that we're going to try to start an after-school program to have outreach to those teens. And that's another thing that we hope to continue. And as I said before, my oldest son, he graduated this year, and he started out at Freed. So I'd like for you to all keep us and him in your prayers, because being 7,000 miles away from your son is not a wonderful feeling. I'll leave you with this. They memorialize everything that happens on the island with a skirt. So we had a nice COVID skirt that was made right before we left. We don't have our booth out this year because with COVID, there's a lot of things that we really don't want to have touched and handled that might pass germs. But I would encourage anyone who would like to be on our newsletter list just to reach out to us and give us your email address. And we'll get you on that list. And also, if you had any idea for any interns that might be interested, or anything else that you would like to talk to us or any questions that you have, just feel free to reach out to us, and I appreciate your time. Appreciate you having us here.